We're chatting now to Robert Vogel, who's with the Friends of Table Mountain Group, founder of Table Mountain Bikers. And what we're discussing, Robert, good afternoon to you, is, look, I mean, there's not a lot of people who've been happy with the permit policy which Sandparks has had in place now for how long? When did we first start having to pay permits to do certain activities on Table Mountain?
Sure, John. Hi, John. Thanks for the opportunity. It's been quite a while, a number of years. I can't give you the exact date, but there is a heads of agreement that was entered into between South African National Parks and City of Cape Town. And there is reference made there to the levying of fees. And the bone of contention, of course, is that it says there it should be done with prior written consent of the relevant local authority, which in this case would be City of Cape Town. So there needs to be some collaborative sit down and agreement on permit fees, whether we like them or not as individuals. But that seems to have not happened because we can't get clarity on it from the City of Cape Town, and Sandparks are not sort of telling us when they'd sat down and determined fees. You know, so that is sort of the basis for this argument.
Okay, and nobody is happy about paying levies to walk a dog or ride a bike. What do you have to pay for?
Yeah, you've got to pay to walk a dog. You've got to pay to ride a bike, paraglide, hang glide, ride your horse, fish, cycle, the whole lot. And it's quite prohibitive. And I think
walk and run is all you're allowed to do for free.
Yeah, walk and run. So I can walk there for free, but I can't ride my bike for free. I mean, look, I understand that we have an impact on the environment. I don't think we need to argue about that. But I think where it becomes problematic is that we see an entity like Sandparks making money in the park. And when we ask whether we can't ring fence some of the permit fees, the my activity permit fees for a specific activity for which that money is charged, why that's never a possibility. The money seems to go into a central fund and then it's redispersed into the various parks. And I also don't mind subsidizing a park that's not making a lot of money, but I would like to see some of my money stay in the park, because my activity that I am busy with in the park is happening in a very specific geographic location. So I don't see why my permit fee shouldn't be used to maintain trails, fix boardwalks, and do all of that anti-erosion measure, because these are all shared trails.
How much of that is happening, of that kind of maintenance and upkeep of the trails that people who are paying for permits to perform an activity, how much of the geography of Table Mountain that they use is being maintained, kept up?
Not sure. We don't get sort of audits from Sandparks, but I don't.
But I mean, you use the trails, you use the boardwalks. What's your sense?
Yeah, we use them. So let's have a look at Lion's Head, for example. So we've had a fire there recently. They closed it down. They did some maintenance on the footpath up to the top of Lion's Head. But take a look on the contour path moving around Lion's Head. The boardwalks have burnt and not been replaced. You've got metal stakes sticking out there 20 centimeters. I mean, people can fall quite easily. There's erosion starting to happen now. The concern is, of course, if you wait even longer, it just gets more expensive. You know, my organization, we're privateers. We fund a lot of maintenance ourselves. And in many cases, Sandparks are aware of it, but sometimes we actually just have to go in and fix. And we do it at our own cost. You know, we raise the money, we bring the trail teams in, and we fix that. Again, we don't mind that, as long as there's a quid pro quo and there's a bit of sharing that goes on in that instance. But I don't know how much. So we know for sure that zero of the permit fees are invested directly into the park. They're invested indirectly, but we don't know where they go. And so it's a little bit murky. And I think that's always, we'd like a bit of transparency around it. So if you tell us what's coming back into the park and how it's been invested, other than alien clearing and fire management, which is the usual sort of the buzzwords that are used, we'd like to know, take it even more specifically, right down to the ground, to a specific location and area with a date and time, so people can then see and feel affirmed in their contribution to the park's costs that this work is actually being done.
Yeah, and you made reference to the heads of agreement between Sandparks and the City of Cape Town, telling me that indicates that there needs to be written agreement from the responsible authority, the City of Cape Town, for these fees to be imposed. I'm surprised that the City of Cape Town is not able to say to you, Robert, this is the meeting where we had it, these are the minutes, this is what we agreed to. Why would they be unwilling to share information with you?
I think it's not an unwillingness. I mean, in conversations, I've been told that it hasn't happened. So it's as simple as that. I mean, financials haven't been shared. I mean, it had to go to Parliament to be told so that we could find out how much revenue was being generated in Table Mountain National Park. You'd imagine that. I mean, Sandparks is effectively a management agency of a property that's owned, 60% of that land roughly is owned by the City of Cape Town. So they have a management mandate. So if I employ somebody, an entity to manage my property, I would expect some feedback, revenue generation, interventions, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's just not happening. So it's quite a fraught environment. It's not easy. So there are discussions going on between City of Cape Town, Sandparks, Western Cape, and at national level, and also private stakeholders like us. We're all involved in these debates, but it's just at different levels, certain information is shared, but there's no one resource or one place where you can go and look at everything and find minutes where all these things are captured. That just seems to be not available.
And it should be. I mean, we're a country which at least in theory is committed to transparency, to citizens being able to access information about the decisions that are taken, which impact on the way citizens go about their daily lives. How formally have you approached Sandparks on this?
Well, I mean, you might be aware of the Minister, Barbara Creasy, sort of asked for these working groups to be established. So there were a couple of them. User conflict was one, for example, environmental management another, I think, and then you had a permit. There was a permit group that I sit on. So we were mandated to meet with Sandparks management. I've had one meeting. I've missed one. I wasn't available. So there is a process underway, and there are supposed to be tangible outcomes, or some at least, for me, I would expect a tangible way forward, not some document that says sort of what we would like to see. I think there are a lot of things. So there's an ongoing debate. We just feel we're not quite sure what the outcome is because that hasn't been given to us. So we debate it with them, and Sandparks, of course, give us the usual sort of story, you know, the usual feedback about where money goes, how it gets put back in the park. We know all of that. I think we need to move beyond that now. I think we're all asking for a different type of transparency. We all prepared as Friends of Table Mountain, all the other user groups, we're all standing in line to help the park. You know, we've offered our help. And I think in that spirit of positive engagement and helpfulness is where we want, you know, we want these things to happen, and we want this engagement on a very open and friendly basis. We're not trying to challenge and be nasty or mean. We just feel like as citizens living in Cape Town, using the resource, enjoying it, you know, we represent everyone else who maybe doesn't like to get involved in these kind of debates, and we just want some transparency in an open and honest forum where we can all help each other, you know, and just make the mountain stay as beautiful as it is and really enjoy it safely and with family and friends and for tourists to come and visit.
To sum up then, Robert, you don't mind paying a fee for activities, but you want at least part of that money, a significant part of it, the majority part of it, to be ring-fenced to do things to the park for which you are paying. So if the money which is paid by cyclists, you want a percentage of that money, a majority percentage of that money, to be used in maintaining the cycle trails that the permit holders use, and you want to be part of a forum at which increases are discussed and uses and maintenance schedules are discussed? Would that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of it. I mean, I think you know, you just want to know how those decisions are come to and where the priority areas are for a year or a quarter, whatever it is. I mean, permit fees are not insubstantial. I mean, the park likes to say that it's a small drop in the ocean compared to the overall revenue they generate. But I mean, for me as an individual, I pay 625 Rand for an annual permit. I estimate there's probably about 3,000 permit holders. So you're getting in just under 2 million Rand in revenue. I mean, and we've done our calculations because we maintain the trails and know the cost. I mean, if we could just take a portion of that, we could probably maintain the trail network quite nicely across the park where we're allowed to cycle. And I think what one just needs to bear in mind here is that we don't have any specific trails in the park that are exclusive to cyclists, for example. Every trail on the mountain is open access to everyone, which means the people that don't pay a permit fee, so walkers, hikers, are getting trails maintained, some of them at the cost of other individuals, which I also don't mind. I just like a little bit of give and take. So if I'm going to give something to the park, maybe be a bit more liberal with me if we want to open another trail for cycling, which we feel can handle bicycles along with the other users. We don't want blanket access to the park. We understand the fragility of the environment, the remoteness of areas. We want to use those areas, the high impact, the buffer zones. Those are the ones we'd like a little bit more flexibility in dealing with those, that it actually adds value to the park's offering. It adds to the enjoyment of the users. And I think there's just a win-win there. If we prepare to chip in and happily pay, if there's transparency, I think we'd all be in a much better space and far more cooperative with each other, I think.
Speaking to Robert Fogel of the Friends of Table Mountain Group and the man who founded the Table Mountain Bicycling Group.